Now, I'm just wondering, when you watch a full when you watch a ball game, how do you decide that it's a good game? Say any professional sport, NHL, NBA, NFL, even a CFA game, a CFL game, will you look forward? What kind of game you are looking forward to? Only the Canucks. Nothing else. But a lot of time Canucks is hard to watch, right? Now a close game or a game that has the outcome announced before the game, would you like to watch? I don't think we really enjoy a game that with all the scores announced ahead of time. But nowadays, I observe many computer gamers who is very much into games. Usually, a lot of them play with a kind of a game walkthrough, or we call a game guide. Actually, it's a strategic handbook. So it tells you all the strategy to play the game. So if you come to a particularly difficult part, you just dig into your game book, your handbook, and here you go. They tell you where to go, what to do. So actually, those walkthrough for computer games has become a big industry. Kids will play games and at the same time purchase walkthrough. Besides that, a lot of people purchase extra in order to advance their level. Say each round you have 3 chances to fail. After 3 fails, you are out and everything has to start all over again. But there is an option. You can purchase more chances, or you can purchase some accessory to help you advance. This is the way computer game industry make money. If they just sell you the game, that's it, right? But if it keeps you on buying the accessories or chances, then it makes money. But isn't it the game supposed to be played without extra A's? Or is supposed to be played with extra A's? I don't know. How was it designed? The reason why we want to buy all those extra A's most likely is because we want to finish the game, win the game quickly. Quickly. Yeah. I used to play a computer game. I am a very poor computer game player. It took me like 3 years to get to the 3 level, of some 30 levels, and everybody else is in the thousands. because I am so reluctant to purchase accessory from the game. So I have to wait another kind of a day for another chance. But if you can purchase those A's, I can probably win really fast. And I will get a very good outcome, a successful outcome. This is a lot of gamers want, a good outcome, a successful outcome. Now, a successful outcome, of course, is what we want. However, a good process is just as important. I will not say process is more important than outcome. This is hypocritical. Say any one of us want to go to study for a degree and never want to graduate, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, but the process is equally important. What if I want to study medicine and I am conferred an MD after I pay my tuition? Will you come to see me when you are sick? Of course not. So the process is equally important. But of course, if I have studied medicine for like 10 years and still I don't get my MD, you don't want to see me either. So I think it's equally important. We can hold the ideal up to the lofty place and appreciate it, but it is not reality. But what if an outcome without a process is again not reality? So what does that do to our text today? Today is Transfiguration Sunday, and it's also the last day of Epiphany. Epiphany is God showing forth, reveal himself to us. When God revealed to us, we learned about God. Transfiguration is the highlight of Epiphany. This is the way God tells us who he is. He's going to tell us who he is. Show us who he is. This is and the message we have read is a very self-explanatory passage. Much can be understood just by reading it. Jesus took his three disciples up to a mountain, which is supposed to be a high mountain, not visited by many because they came to a place that Jesus can stay there, and God revealed to Peter and James and John. Obviously, when Jesus prayed, it took a long time, because the Bible often shows us when Jesus prayed, he prayed for a long time. And then all those things happened, and nobody has seen it. Judging from the geographic proximity of Caesarea Philippi, where Peter confessed Jesus is Christ not too long ago, Mount Hermon was sparsely populated. High up the mountain was seldom visited by people. We suspected it is on Mount Hermon Jesus has shown his disciples his glorious nature. Mount Hermon is known for its majesty and height, which overlook the whole Palestine. It is just appropriate for Jesus' transfiguration, God who comes down from heaven in all his majesty and glory. This was Jesus really is. This is who Jesus really is. In all God's glory, descended from heaven to us. All we can see is his face become different, and his clothing became white and gleaming. Now, isn't it a little bit similar to Paul's experience as recorded in Luke's other composition? But it happened that as I was on my way approaching Damascus about noontime, a very bright light suddenly flashed from heaven all around me. Yes, this is the transformational glory of God. When God transforms, when God appears, we see the bright light. The bright light that will literally blind us. As we look closer, besides the glory and shine of transfiguration, there's another similarity with another part of the Bible. In this passage, when the disciples woke up from their nap, right? They saw Jesus' glory. However, in the other passage, when the disciples woke up from their nap, they saw Jesus capture. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed and his disciples decided to nap. Not that they wanted to nap, but they can't help. And here, right here, Peter, James, and John probably has the same situation. They did not decide to nap, but they can't help. Their eyelids are heavy. And I believe this is not a coincidence. As the disciples lifted their weary eyes, they may have expected all with the glorious as they had experienced in Mount Hermon when they were in Garden of Gethsemane. But they woke up to see the beginning of the tragedy of Jesus' crucifixion. There are times when we woke up from nap, everything is glorious. But also there's a time after the nap, everything just turned downhill. We remember we talked about the process, the journey. So we turn our eyes to the immediate passages before this transfiguration scene. And so this is the passage before our passage today. Before the transfiguration, it happened like that. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do the people say that I am?" And then Peter, the brave one, answered correctly, "The Christ of God." Now, this is really something important in Jesus' ministry. This is the first time his disciples acknowledge he is the Christ. Now, when Jesus came, definitely he would like to his disciples to know that he is the Christ. And now the disciples finally got it. "You are the Christ of God." And then when both of these glorious scenarios actually are separated by another course of Jesus. Now, in verses 25 and 20 to 36, it's a transfiguration. It's a time of glory. And also, from 18 to 20, is also a time of satisfaction, of glory, because this is the time Christ finally got recognized. But in between these two proclamation or glorious moment, it is separated by another discourse of Jesus. In between 18 to 20 and 29 to 35, there is a rather substantial paragraph which has an opposite passage, message. Now, the first paragraph, let's read it together. "But he warned them, instructed them not to tell this to anyone, saying, 'The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised up on the third day.'" Now, the crux of the warning is not to tell. The most important message is, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and killed and be raised up in the third day." Suffer many things and be rejected. This is not anything I want in my life. I don't think you want it either. Suffering is not something we look for. We know life has sufferings. Either it comes from some disappointment, or because there are circumstances we cannot control. This Sunday, it is not recorded with the English bulletin, but actually last week, two of the Cantonese members or their relatives died. To those who are close to them, it is suffering. It occurred to us. This is not what we want in life. When you were young, we don't see as much that kind of people dying. But when we get older, people are just dying left and right. A lot of times, one of the most depressing scenes of getting old is going to a funeral. Because every time you go out, or the only time you go out, is because you want to attend a funeral. And being rejected, I don't want to be rejected. One of the reasons why it's so hard to say sorry is because we do not want to be rejected. Have you ever experienced that? And it is really devastating. So I did some wrong. Maybe I did some wrong to Sam. I knew it. So I woke up my courage and went up to Sam and said, "Sam, I'm sorry." And Sam said, Huh? This is rejection, right? Of course, it never happened, right? Yeah, I never say sorry. No. This is rejection, okay? The second paragraph is even worse. Let's read together. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever, okay. Most of the time, we believe it is a blessing after we become a Christian. But blessing is not everything. Blessing is not everything. Of course, we have our trend of our generation. When I was young, we become Christian not because believing is a blessing. I believe, or most of my peers, they believe because they want to look for meaning of life. They find Christianity and they found meaning of life there. So for my generation, we don't talk too much about blessing. We even did not know there's blessing. We thought it's all hard work. So we work really hard, okay? But of course, as we mature, we know it's more than working hard. Transfiguration is a vision of the future for the disciples. They can see when all the blessing come to fruition. They did not realize transfiguration is a precursor of future glory. Before glory is fully manifested, there is a journey. There is a process. For Jesus, it is suffering and rejection by the majority of people at his time. At the end, they crucify him on a cruel cross. At the end of Jesus' earthly life, he did not see the fullness of his glory. He only had a handful of disciples. One of his most trusted disciples is the one who betrayed him with a kiss, a gesture of friendliness. The ultimate betrayal was demonstrated by a gesture of friendliness. Jesus asked the same for us. Before there is the fullness of glory, we have to take up our cross and follow him. This is what he has demanded us to be. One thing I would like us to bring home today is an attitude. Today's Christian tends to emphasize on the blessings brought from God as we look upon Jesus. He is smooth skin, slightly depressed Bradley Cooper. After all, he died at 33 years old at a young age. Well, all the Sunday school pictures are like that, right? Think about it. The slightly depressed Bradley Cooper image of Jesus on our Sunday school book is very much like it. But we have never taken the account of men of his era. On average, they die in the mid-40s. The average age of the early Enlightenment was only 38. The prophet Isaiah described him. He has to no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. Jesus lived a harsh life. Jesus lived in a village. Jesus was running around the whole Palestine. For us, city people, we do not age as fast as those people who live in the countryside, especially those harsher countries. There was time I was visiting some Christians in the northern part of China. We went to a village, and we visited church. We preached there, and we shared there, and then it came time to leave. As we are about to board the bus, I saw there's an old woman who came running to us, hauling two big, I don't know how to call it, but anyway, two big heavy load. We do not know what she is carrying, but deep down in my heart, my deepest fear is that she is going to haul us some local products so that we can bring back to Hong Kong. It's this big. It's in the 80s. Yeah, because they want to thank us. And this old woman was hauling this two big load. And he thought, boy, this old woman is really strong. So when she come to the bus, and we thank her, and we have to do some really bad thing to reject her, because we cannot. It is impossible to fly home with those two big bag of produce. And I was kind of say in passing to the pastor who were there and say, "Oh boy." So I said, this old woman, this apo, is really strong. And the pastor told me, no, she was only 35. The reason why I recognize her as an old woman because the harsh life makes us look old. When you go to the countryside with harsh climate and harsh life, people got old really fast. This is the reason why Isaiah said, he has no steady form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. Jesus is unlike the pictures in the Sunday school. This is the price of his glory. This is the price of his glory. It is all hard work because he has come a long way. It's a long process. LGC has come a long way. In order to make LGC a church God likes, there is still a long way to go. When I first became a pastor, people always told me there will be a honeymoon period and then everything will go downhill. Remember, after the honeymoon, members will begin to attack you and attack what you do. They will no longer overlook your faults and will actually find fault with you. Frankly, when I was that young, I was 26, I heard it, and I did not pay much attention to it. Because there were just so many things to do. Everybody has to work like dogs. I was in church. They had just had a bitter split 5 years ago. So they hired a pastor to replace the pastor who resigned. And this new pastor left in a year. I don't know why the church hired me. They hired me probably because I was young and naive. Nobody looking at that church would want to go there. And I did not understand. I thought, gee, this is good. Because when you just graduated from some seminary, usually they hire you as youth pastor or youth director or children director or whatever. They won't hire you as the pastor of the whole congregation. And I like to be the pastor of the whole congregation so that I can learn everything from the church. It comes with a price. I did not understand what is demographics. So I was hired by the church. Right from the beginning, there was no honeymoon. I inherited a congregation of 60 people with a thriving children program, practically composed of street kids. Because the church has another English children program. That's where all the church children go, the good kids. And we have a Chinese children program where all the street kids go, because we have a street kid program. And the street kid program, we have approximately 50 kids with a 60 congregation. And but this is a congregation that has been depleted by the flood, with only elderly and a handful of youth. Yes, they were youth, which means they are all under, they are all 14 to 18. Then we have a group of four families, young families. My family is the fourth. We also have a bunch of college students, totaling also four. So I really like the number four. Much like the Joseph at Islow. Yes, again, the number is four. Let me tell you, it's no time for honeymoon. Honeymoon is over once I am hired. Actually, it was really hard time. I was a fresh grad. I did not know anything. Even though I have my supervisor, who is the senior pastor of the church, who pastored the English congregation. There was a time he has his annual vacation, and his annual vacation means 6 weeks because he earned it. And the worst thing that had, could have come is one of my members died. And so the wife came to me and said, my husband died, and you need to officiate a funeral for him. And I just don't understand how come the seminary never taught me about officiating a funeral. And I have never been to a funeral like that, because the only funeral I have ever been to was my grandma's in Hong Kong when I was 6 years old. I did not know what a funeral looks like at that time. So I dug up every known box I have. I went to the bookstore to try to buy how to officiate a funeral. And I can tell you, this is the shortest funeral ever in the whole universe. I dare not look at my clock, but I suspect it ended in 10 minutes. Does it look like a honeymoon to you? But since I have some college students, and some of the college students live, the church is in San Francisco, their families is in San Francisco, but they study in San Jose State University, which is a 1 hour drive one way from San Francisco, where I live. So every week, I drove down to San Jose to have Bible study with them, because these are the only college kids I have, and these are my future. And I turned my home into the fellowship hall, So almost like 3 nights a week, all the college kids will come to my home, eat and drink and be merry. But I thank God because the honeymoon finally came. That was 8 years later. I was about to resign. And the church has slowly turned around. All those college kids who has been eating and drinking and making merry in my living room has grown up. And they have been my loyal babysitters. And I can rely on them. When my second son was born, they will come to my house 5 o'clock in the morning to babysit for Adriel. And then one of them actually arranged to propose to his girlfriend in my living room. They found it safe. They found maybe it's too familiar. So familiar, everybody will feel safe there, comfortable. So the boy asked me, okay, I have this big bunch of flower. Let's put it in your bedroom, okay? And I'll invite my girlfriend to come to your house for lunch, okay? And then I'll propose to her right there. That was 8 years after. I think that's honeymoon. Glory don't come instantly. Then I knew we were so trusted. I don't want to tell you a success story, but I can only tell you how I feel. Before glory is hard work. LGC has just had the bylaws adopted for the hope to start a new page 2 years ago. We were just beginning. Success is still very far away. This is a time to pick up the cross via Dolorosa. We have gone through the many sufferings and rejection before we really get there. Yes, the day of accomplishment will come, but for now, we'll find a lot of flaws. We made a lot of mistakes. And also, the most important thing is we will find a lot of people, other people making mistakes. But it's all natural. This is Via Dolorosa. Pick up your cross and walk the journey. The nap is finished. You are awakened. Wake up and continue the journey. The time of nap is done. Shall we pray? God, thank you. We thank you for your loving kindness towards us. Because you are so loving, you know that we have a long journey ahead of us. You came ahead of us, before us, to tell us it can be done. Even you has to suffer many things and be rejected. And you will be crucified on the cross. But we are confident we can take up the cross and follow you. And we thank you. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.